How it happened. Okay, so tonight, as we just prayed, is the first night of the month of Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar tonight. There's a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, but there's a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. That means the first day was the last day of the previous month, and the second one is the first day of the first month. If there's 1 day Rosh Chodesh, it's the first day of the month. But if there's two, the second one is the first day of the month, except for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a 2-day holiday, and it's day one and day two of that month. But today, right now, about a couple hours ago, we began the month called Adar. Most, nearly all of the names of the months of the Jewish calendar are not classic Hebrew names. They're actually Babylonian names that the Jews in the Torah itself, when you look at the five books, it never names a month. It names a month by the number. Month one, month three, month 10. There's no such thing as a name of a month. The names of the month began much later on. Once you get into the Nevi'im, in Megillas Esther, it's going to name a name, and later on, but that was taken from non-Jewish sources. The names, of course, always have deep mystical ideas because they could have named it table, or they could have named it something in French. So the words they chose usually had some mystical meanings behind it. The rabbis going back in the time when there was still prophecy in the world, and they chose these 12 names, which represent numeric systems, gematria, acronyms of what they stand for, all types of fascinating things, full books written on the names of the holidays, by the way. Full books. Probably I have to look around if someone will get together. Probably do each book for each month. That's how many different approaches. That's the introduction to the words I'm about to read in the Talmud, which not many connect, but we're going to do that. Talmud says like this, that we don't have in front of us. I mean, Gemara.
Okay,
Yeah.
you said non-Jewish sources. Which, not is it Aramaic? What is
Babylonian. Yeah.
okay.
These were, yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Shimon, we are in Beah 15b. He who desires to preserve his monetary wealth. I think that's something anyone will be interested in learning about. Who wants to preserve their monetary wealth? Talmud has an open statement. Who wants to preserve his monetary wealth? Here goes. Secret of all time. He should plant a tree called Adar. Adar. Same as the month. Should plant an Adar tree. For it says, there's a play on words, the Pasuk says, the Lord on high is mighty, and the word mighty is called Adara, which implies it's impressive. Okay, it lasts for generations. Dara means generations as well. So it's mighty, it survives generations. That's the word Adara. Now we're moving it over. You want money to survive, plant an Adar tree. No one knows what that is. So I gave you a secret that you can't use, because none of you probably own farms, and none of you can find an Adar tree. On the bottom, I'm reading these guys. I don't know what it says. I never looked at it before. A kind of cedar, okay, high and majestic. Nice words. Now, what does that mean? Here goes the basic interpretation. In Judaism, there are something called property rights, like everywhere else in the world. But we don't have what we call squatters' rights or rental. We're not getting into politics and rising real estate taxes
There are other squatter rights
up to, right.
up
But
to
we meaning
minimum property.
Jews. No, we meaning Jews. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. So if someone's in a property for 3 years and claims ownership, not squatters, claims ownership, I bought it, I did this, I did, and the original owner comes forward and can't prove it, that's a big if, then the new person is called the owner, not that they're a squatter. If the person says, I'm a squatter, get out. Become a police, armed forces, get out of the property. If someone claims, I bought this property
And that's their
or I
claim,
inherited this
though.
property,
That's their claim. They don't have proof of it either.
right. So now we have, excellent, we have a case where both sides don't have any proof. Then the 3-year guy, we give it to him. But not, but he's claiming he's a squatter. If he claims he's a squatter, we remove him instantaneously. If he claims it, now.
But if he, in fact, is a squatter, he doesn't say
Yes.
anything. He says, no, he moves off some limits,
Okay, but
but
he's taking a chance. He's assuming that
he's taking a chance.
he's taking that the legal owners don't have, they don't have proof they own the
So
house.
they're not going to
Most
escape the
people who own
thing.
a house have proof. And usually the proof survives. In the old days, a little tougher. We didn't have bank vaults in the old days. So we gave a guy 3 years that we, after that, we said, listen, we're going to figure it out. For 3 years, you have a right to say, get out of my field. After that, no way. So, and you go up to the guy within a year and say, get out of my field. He's got to prove he's there. So the original owner takes ownership if he can prove he was there 3 years ago, or everyone knows about it. Oh, everyone knows about it. So it says, if you plant this majestic tree, everyone, that's a fascinating tree. You know what everyone's going to walk around saying? I know that tree. That's a Bromsky tree. In my Bromsky's house, I got that nice tree. So everyone knows it's Abramsky's property. So when the new guys show up and they say, oh, we've been here for years. What? We didn't call it new guy's tree. We didn't call it squatter tree. We called it Abramsky tree. That means it's yours. You have more rights. So the Gemara, in the simplistic term, is saying, you want to retain your property, do something that everyone's going to talk about it. Plant a tree that's high and majestic. Everyone will know it's your property. It gives you rights. Now, there is an extensive law, which will ruin the whole conversation, that if a person is not renting, has no issue in renting out the place, he's not interested. He's planning on letting it sit empty, and he loses nothing, very big if there, on what that exactly means. And then a squatter moves in, the squatter can stay. But it doesn't mean it's his property. It's still called the squatter, and it's only because the owner is doing nothing with it. So in those, now, if the owner is trying to throw him out, clearly he doesn't believe in this idea. He thinks he could make money out of it, or he thinks you're ruining the property. That would mean you have to be in the property and not ruining it. If you're running bonfires inside the house, and what most of these people do, they destroy the place. No, that doesn't work either. Back to reality. We have
A
a
question.
mind-blowing idea. You want to retain property rights? Find something called an Adar tree and plant it. But we are saying that the Talmud doesn't say property. It's saying something more to it, and we're going to discuss it before Eliezer breaks up the rhythm. Go. 973, we're starting.
Everyone is using the same kind of tree. How can you say it's a Brahmsi's tree or this tree if everyone uses the same exact kind of?
Very good question. We're going to have to discuss it. And the reality is, I'm guessing offhand, but I like the question. It could be it's not something that everyone could do. Maybe certain properties can't do it. Maybe it's too expensive to do, but it's a good question. Or everyone knows. I know that's the guy. Yeah, Bronski's got that tree, but you know who else? A bunch of copycats grab the same tree.
But it says here there. Oh,
No, we have,
that
I'm looking at this.
particular trade.
Yes, but it could
So
be.
everyone.
I'm making up. Maybe this, if everyone has a tennis court in Brooklyn, in downtown Brooklyn, everyone will talk about everyone's house in Brooklyn or
Fine.
downtown.
Fine.
If you have a large enough property for a tennis court in Brooklyn Heights, I think everyone will say it. I don't know. Decent question. No, actually, very good question. Open now. 972. 972. We're reading to the second to the last line in Hebrew. Something we say twice a day, three times a day. Some of us. You with me? You did you? Pass this down because you got to pay attention. 972. Now we have this pasuk. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem our God. Hashem is the one and only. Now, if you look at the Hebrew side, which we don't normally do, we have to look at the Hebrew side today, you should notice that there is a font issue going on here. The first word has a large ayin, which we're not discussing tonight, and the last word, which is not the last word on the line, but the last word on the pasuk, third to last one line, has a large dalet. What we do, practically speaking, is that when we say this word, we stress those letters. So if you go into real right-wing places, you're going to have people say Shma, because the ayin and aleph to us sound the same. If you have the letter aleph and ayin, most people like me, it's the same letter. But obviously, that doesn't make any sense. There has to be a difference in sound. And they make this ayin sound. So you go into some religious place in B'nai Brak, and you listen to a guy repeat the word Shma 10 times with a It's not that he has a cold and avoid him at all costs of COVID. It's he's trying to get that ayin in. Same thing when you go to the last letter, that most people do. When it comes to Echad, they'll stress the D. Then you're supposed to think, I think Archibald Siddha says it, think about God as all four corners of the world. Fine, it's all good. But we're going to go on a different route. There is a large dollar here that you can't miss. Right? Yes.
Is that same font difference in the
Yes,
scroll as
yes,
well? What
yes,
is
yes, yes. Good question. Now, we're going to point out another place that has another font issue. And now we're going to page 510. I got to find it now. Okay. Now, 510 is going to be right after the golden calf sin. Bad times, bad times. And God is really not in the great happiness with the Jewish nation, going to plan on wiping out the nation in the desert. And here he gives us a command. The commands, well, the first word on the line will be where that little star is. That's like two stars, the bottom star. So the first word on the line right here, by the way, and the word before that is, if you want to look at the English side, just so you know the words, it's the end of 14. The end of 14 says, "For you shall not prostrate yourself to alien God. For the very name of Hashem, jealous one, he is the jealous God." Now, when it says an alien God, that resh is enlarged. And it, by the way, similar word. Instead of the word we read before of echad, means one God, this is acher, foreign God. So, in a simple way, we begin this class by saying, you know why these letters are enlarged? To make sure that you don't make these mistakes. Because it has to be. It has to be. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God. He is the one and only with a Dalid, Echad, and not say he is the other one. That's blasphemous. And reverse it, don't bow down to the one God. That doesn't sound good. Don't bow down to the other gods. So a Reish is enlarged, When it comes, don't bow down to foreign gods. They're always among you. Make sure you got that race right. Because if you're reading it quickly and you're half asleep like you did, you're going to say, oh, what's talk? What did I say over there? Oh, Echad. No, that's blasphemous. If you say, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino Shema, what is it? Acher. Yeah. Bad mistakes. So in order to avoid a bad mistake, on the most simple interpretation, open up a scroll, as he said, inside the scroll of the Sefer Torah, and here as well, large Dalet, large race to show us. On the simplest level, Dalet would be the good side. Echad, one God. Resh is Acher, negative side. Not a good God. These letters are enlarged. We go just a couple pages before, you'll see something fascinating. Page 494. 494 is when the sin of the golden calf happens. On the left side of the page, Oscar tells us this is God's anger. We'll read the English. Hashem said to Moses, remember, Moses is in heaven right now, talking to God. He didn't come down on time. The Jews decided that we need another leader here. They're going to make a golden calf. Moses upstairs, he doesn't know what's going on. So the top of the page on the left side says, on 495, the golden calf. We're not discussing that. We go to the bottom, God's anger. English side 495. Hashem spoke to Moses, go descend, for your people that you brought up from the land of Egypt have become corrupt. Over to the Hebrew side. Extra word. Go descend. Do you need the word descend? Go. Or descend. I need to go and descend. I don't know. Look at the right side. Second to the last line. One, two, three, four, five. We're in the fifth and sixth word. Second to the last line. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, lech, go. What's the next word? Raid, which is descend. I want to see if Oscar says it here. No, they ignored it. I mean, it doesn't, but he's a C. Now, Rashi says, which we don't read Rashi usually in this class, Rashi adds on from a Medrash that the word raid means descend from your greatness. That's the words of Rashi. Lech migdulasech. What does it mean? Very powerful idea. We hate it. You get the leaders you deserve. So God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, lech go means leave heaven, go to earth. Descend doesn't mean physically go. We just said go. Descend means you are now no longer a higher power where you're supposed to be, because the people that you were supposed to lead are much lower. You got to descend to stay in the same game. The greater the people, the greater the leader. If the people sink, the leader sinks as well. She says, go down from your greatness. Go down from your greatness. That's what it means. Descend doesn't mean physically, go down from your greatness. But anyone's paying attention, you're nodding along, so I'm hoping you are. The letters there are what? The Resh and the Dalet. Which means God was telling Moshe, they messed up on this Resh and Dalet. It's regular size. Because you know what it means, regular size? Resh means they decided instead of bowing down to the one God, they made a golden calf. They mixed up the Resh of don't bow down to foreign gods to the Dalet of Yishma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When people make a mistake, the Resh and Dalet gets mixed up. We don't know what's a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. So for example, you might think you're doing the greatest mitzvah in the world. But really, it's not a good idea to be doing such a thing. I think it's a mitzvah, but it's not. And there are other times I say, you know what? I don't feel I'm worthy enough to give a guy mussar. I don't want to tell a guy don't squat. It's not my place. I'm not that good. So I avoid doing something because I think, it's not so good. Maybe it's a bad thing. Maybe my tone of voice is sarcastic. If I give mussar, it's going to be an aveira, and really, it's a mitzvah. So we mix up what is a mitzvah and what is not a mitzvah. And we make mistakes that way. That's the resh and the dal being mixed up. The resh meaning foreign gods, the dal meaning God, God. Now, when did this all begin? You go back to page 18, beginning of time. What happened was, we had some type of weird situation going on. We had a snake which represents the evil inclination. The snake of the evil inclination convinced Adam, Chava, whatever story you want to go with, and they sinned. And then they got punished. What did women get? Tough pregnancies. Does that happen today, by the way? Yes, it does. Women are still suffering tough pregnancies. What did mankind get? Oh, let's get the exact words here. Where are they? We're on verse 17, 18. Well, we'll go to 17. 70. Adam, he said, because you listened to the voice of your wife and ate of the tree, you shall not eat. Accursed is the ground. Thorns and thistles shall it sprout for you. Okay, I don't know about you guys. Not that I know what a thistle even is, to be fair. I'm pretty sure I'm good to say my whole life, but let's just go back and not be so arrogant. I'll say the last 30 years, I haven't been affected by thorns and thistles, as far as I know. I buy my bread in the store, so I don't know what thorns and thistles are. I'm fair to say, to go age, since everyone laughed at my Len Berman joke, go back and age. Only won't, you did, and you won't get it. You're not going to get this. You know the phrase palm olive hands?
Palm out of pants.
Palm olive hands, right? That means soft, soft scrub. Yeah, it means it was a commercial for some type of a thing.
Match.
It was match, or I
Match.
don't. Right.
Match.
It meant what? It meant, by the way, most of us in this room probably have palm olive hands. I doubt anyone in this room right here has been on a farm and been dramatically affected by thorns and thistles. That's my, you've been on a farm and been affected by it recently. Okay. But you would take a once a year curse on thorns and thistles that you volunteered to do as opposed to bloating and desiring pickles with cream cheese, if that's even a
Well,
thing.
labor is the issue,
Oh,
not
labor.
the
Labor's
cream
probably,
cheese.
let's not make fun of the pickles. Labor could be much worse. Correct. So none of us here have really been affected by the thorns and thistles as a curse. And the women are affected. That doesn't sound fair. Now, what is going on
Went
here?
on record.
So I'll tell you an amazing thing here. What's amazing is like this. What happened? They had a snake, not a snake. One of the famous explanations of what happened, but a curse, the sin, the original sin is, as they stole from us, the original sin is that we had an outside force, whatever that means, a snake outside of us having conversations with us to do bad. But internally, we were good. And we took that thing we weren't supposed to do and we ingested it. It became part of us. What does food do? Food becomes a part of you. And now, as a part of you, you internally have evil inclination, which means you don't know right from wrong. You think it's a mitzvah to embarrass a guy named Abramsky. Not a mitzvah. You're mixing these things up. It wasn't necessarily a punishment by God as much as a new reality. God told Adam, there's a new reality in the world. You know what the new reality is? Thorns of what's it? Thorns and thistles. Doesn't mean thorns and thistles. Go over to the right side. We've got to go to the Hebrew. One, two, three, fourth line. Fourth line is the beginning of this thorns and thistles. Vikoitz is obviously article to thorns. What's that next word? That's a weird word. Four letters, by the way, if you don't count the vav. On page 18, vidardar. Dardar means thistles.
Dalad Reish, good.
Dalet resh. God was telling Adam, there's a new thing in town. You're all mixed up. You don't know what's right, what's left, what's up, what's down. El acher Hashem echad. The mix-up is what happened. What created this mix-up? The kites. Basic math. A resh in the numeric system is 200. Basic math. The dalet is 4. 200 minus 4 is 196. That's, if you didn't know that, I'm sorry. You know what the word before that is? The kites. The kites numerically. Kuf is 100. Vav is 6. Tzadik is 90, which is 196. What the words here say, the kites, by the way, how do you define the difference between a dalet and a resh when you spell it out? It's that what I call figmajig on the right-hand top corner, right?
Yud at the top.
That yud, can we call the yud? I call figmajig. Yud, by the way, a whole nother class. Maybe we'll do it next week if everyone wants. You'd stick with that. Well, I'll call it figmajig for now. The figmajig on the top right is the thing. You know what another word for a figmajig is? A kites. So when you read this, you're saying kites, the figmajig of the dardar of the dalet resh is your punishment. And by the way, the numeric value of kites is 196. So this word kites is numerically and visually the difference between the next word vidarda. You following this? I'm not going too fast. The kites is the different. So when you're reading these words out, you're going to be punished by mankind. You're punished how? The kites of the dalet resh. That thigmajig, which numerically equals the difference between dalet resh and what it looks like. That's what it is, a thistle, a thorn. That's what we'll call it, instead of a yud. The top right corner is going to be called a thorn for this conversation.
Now,
That thorn, which makes the difference in dalet resh, is what you're always confused about the rest of your life. Judaism, world, mankind has been mixing up the dalet and the resh from this time. We internally ingest it. We don't know what it is. You know what the problem is when I yet one more? Let's go to page 392.
this is your
No. This is going to be me. Everything
that
I'm saying
it's
now,
for dar dar.
everything now I'm saying is from the Bnei Yisachar. One of the early Hasidic sources, except for this Gemara, which we're going to attach it to soon. Can't take credit. This is Michael.
Good.
Did I lead you wrong when I told you this is going to be a good one?
That's good. B'nai Sasfar is from
This is a
where?
good one. Bnei Sasa is late 17, early 1800s.
I think that's
Nephew of the
Sasfar.
Bnei, of the Noam HaMelech, of Lezhensk. But on his own right, he created dynasties also. Look at this thing, 392. 392, as we talk about what we're doing today. The eternal struggle against Amalek, as we say on the top left side. We are eternally struggling against Amalek. And we read these words. Let's go to the last words of the page. We'll do it in English first. And he said, for the hand is on the throne of God. Hashem maintains a war against Amalek from generation to generation. We're fighting this battle today. Let's go over to the right. How do you spell generation, by the way? Anyone know Hebrew? Generation is a three-letter word normally. Normally, it's three letters, Dalet Vav Resh. Here, it's written in the Ark scroll. And if we open up the scroll, look at those last words on the page. Midardar. Midardar, twice in a row. Twice in a row. The word dardar, the mixing up. You know what Amalek does? Amalek, which represents Satan, which represents Haman, we'll get to in 3 seconds,
step two.
is all about mixing things up. Mixing up the Dalet of what we say every day, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenosh, Shema Echad, and the Resh of don't bow down to foreign gods. That's what it's all about. You want to know what I mean? This is my addition. Plant an Adar tree? Seriously? I don't know. That's not, I'm not, I am not
Don't
saving my
talk
wealth.
about Adar again.
What you want to
That's a bad
save your,
idea.
when it says you want to save your possessions, Talmud's not talking about physical possessions, only talking about your spiritual gains. One step forward, two steps back. So on. So what do you do? How do you save your one step forward? Yeah, you save your one step forward. You plant the Adar means Aleph. The word Aleph as a word means understanding. Aleph being to understand things. The first thing is to understand the Dalet and the Resh. You want to be successful in your life? Understand what it means, a Dalet and a Resh. Dalet representing Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Resh representing Lo Tishtachve El Acher. It starts in the beginning of time. The Koitz and the Dardar goes through the War of Amalek, which we say goes forever. We see it when the sin of the Egel happened. Were they doing such a bad thing?
They're two opposite entities. Duh.
Define the opposite entities.
You're saying one is with Hashem's name and one is with
El Acher, you're allowed to say it. It's foreign gods. The Resh, the large Resh says, don't bow down to foreign gods. That's what the large Resh is. Foreign gods it represents. And we have this theme running through everything. All the way. The original snake. Amalek attacking. Amalek's great-grandchild's name is Haman. Now, we have a concept. Where did Haman come from in the Torah? There's an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says, every one of us, by the way, is in the Chumash somewhere. Every one of us. There's officially, very hard conversation to have. Maybe we'll have that one day. Write these things down. There are officially 600,000 words in the Torah. Talmud says it. The 600,000 words represent 600,000 Jewish people. Some of us are Gilgal, we're reincarnated. Everyone's got a spot in the Torah. Everyone. Now, you could be in Amalek's conversation, or you could be in Moshe Rabbeinu's conversation. That's, just depends on where your soul belongs. Where your soul belongs. But the essence is there somewhere. The Gemara quotes a few sources. Gemara says, where do we know Haman? Haman, he's 2,000 years later. Where do we know Haman? Many thousand years. Where do we know Haman's in the Torah? Where do we see the word Haman in the Torah? And you know what it says? What page did we start with today? Page 19. We're going to go back 18. Let me go back one more. 17, 16. Got to be 16. Yes. Verse 11. God's confronting Adam and Eve. And God, capital H, said, who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? Okay, sounds like a good statement. Let's go over to the Hebrew side. Next to the little Aleph, it's right over there on the page. Ben was looking, the last word right there, which says, which in English is hamin, which means from. The Talmud says that even though it spells out from, but there's no vowels in the Torah, scroll has no vowels, that word is haman. That means haman, Amalek, snake. They all go through the tree, which created this concept of mixing up a dal and a resh. Now we have different ways of doing numeric values. So we could take the name Haman, Hey Memnun, and spell it out, and it comes out to 95, 15 speeches on that. But there's another way to do a guy's name. You phonetically spell out each letter and then add it up. So for example, the Hey of Haman now becomes, how do you spell Hey? Four different ways. We'll go with the simple one, Hey, Hey. When you want to spell it, in English you have A, B, C, D, E, F. F would be E, F, right? If you have to spell out F. Maybe C would be C, I don't even know. But most of them are just the letters.
Phonetically.
Phonetically spoken. I said in English, not as much. In Hebrew, every letter is spelled out. Aleph, Beis. The hey becomes a little bit of an issue because maybe not. Hey becomes hey, hey. Mem, that's easy. M-E-M. Mem, mem. Nun, nun, vav, nun. Not doing it outside. Equals 196. What was 196? What was 196? The difference between the thorn and the thistle. The 196 is the difference between the resh and the dalet. Haman's reality, his essence of what he represented is get people mixed up. You know what he told people to do? I'm putting a chain on me. It's not a real idol. You're allowed to bow down to it. It's a bow down. In technical law, the Jews were allowed to bow down. It wasn't a real idol. He was saying, don't bow down, but he had all his ideas. And the Jews said, well, I don't know if this is a good idea. We don't want to poke the bear. But why did he say bow down? Because he was saying, I'm going to mix up the ration. Oh, it's allowed. It's allowed. It's not a real idol. Comes up, it's not so bad. We mix these things up. Now, I'll tell you what the most amazing, I didn't know this until today. Brand new for this class. There's a medrash that discusses, we know the story of Haman. So in the story of Haman, he decides, I'm not going after Mordecai alone. The Jews are a unit. One Jew does something wrong, they're all going to suffer. Kill them all. Then he gets invited to a party by Esther, the queen. And she says, I want another party tomorrow. He's like, this is great. And at one point they say, what are you going to do here? He said, you know what? Build a tree. Is that even English? That's what it says. Build a tree 50 cubits high, a lot of interesting details, and you hang Mordechai on it. We gave a few classes on this years ago. Build a tree, very strange. And then what happens is they have the second party. Esther reveals that Haman was no good trying to kill her, trying to kill her people. Then he has a forced move on the queen. And he's like, Ahasuerus is now furiously angry, all in the story. And all of a sudden, the ONW appears. He said, oh, you know what else? He tried to build a tree to kill Mordecai. Let's hang him on the same tree. And Ahasuerus is like, great idea. What's your name? Like, all of a sudden, the O showed up. And he's like, okay, go for it. And without any time, Haman gets hung on the tree. I never saw this till today. Never thought about it till today. What was the type of tree Haman was hung on? Never thought about it. There's a medrash that gives almost, I remember, eight different answers. If we have time and you guys are willing, we'll do a class on each one of these eight. Unbelievable. Each different trees. One says an obvious one, a geffen tree. What do you call a geffen tree in English? A vine tree. Why? Because everything in the world is based on wine. People getting drunk. Ahasuerus is drunk. The party was alcohol. That's what, there's different approaches. And then there's one I never saw from, I never saw the whole Medrash. It says the name of the tree, I never heard of this tree, is called a kites. The word, thorn. It's called a thorn tree. Completed. Now, the Medrash is saying, I'm adding to it now, that the essence of his name was numeric 196, as I told you. Hey, mem, mem, nun, vav, nun, that his name phonetically was the word you use. Phonetically spelled out equals 196, which equals the word kites. So we hung him in his essence. That's really what the Medrash is saying, by the way. But according to what we're saying, you know, that's his essence, is to get that little thingamajig and mix people up. That's what we're going to hang you on. We're going to hang you on what you try to do wrong. We believe in mita kenegamida. What's that in English? Mita kenegamida? The word is English for that.
Measure from it.
Measure for measure. The Egyptians got drowned till they tried to drown the people. Haman was hung on a tree called kites. Because his whole essence was to mix up that little thingamajig on the top right corner between the dalet and the resh. Our jobs as Jews is to clarify the dalet and the resh and destroy the generational fight that occurs with Amalek from generation to generation, which, as we said, was spelled without the extra letter to spell out the dar-dar, the thistles. Because we have to know what's clear. We have to be clear in life on what is good and what is no good. Do the good, avoid the bad. The messianic revelation will occur. Destroy the snake, Amalek, Esav, and Haman that we are against. Thank you.
Wow.